At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out at the D. I'm Patrick Maher, live in Los Angeles. Also in Los Angeles, our NBA insider, Zach Harper. You can read The Athletic, of course, NBA writer, SiriusXM. Check out the newsletter over at The Athletic, The Bounce. You can sign up for free. I encourage you all to check that out. It's very good. At Talk Hoops on Twitter. So much to do, Mr. Talk Hoops. So yes. Much. And I almost said, like, and Progressive Guest Line brings you, Zach. It's like we battle for 6 months and 82 games, and then somehow 27 seconds in the Knicks and 76er game made it all worth it. And then whatever the hell happened in Denver made it all worth it, because let's be honest, last night was freaking awesome theater.
I'm of the opinion the playoffs, that, you know, some people say a series doesn't start until the road team wins a game. I'm of the opinion the playoffs don't start until Daryl Morey files a grievance. That's why I know it's April. This is the time we're alive, when we're asking to speak to a manager. That's the time that you feel the playoffs. Like, that's just, oh my goodness. And then I do actually feel bad for the Lakers, and I know we're not supposed to do that, but they had to have felt like, all right, we're at least not getting swept. Right. There's no way you can talk yourself into, well, now we're going home and we just had a 20-point lead and we barely lost that game. Denver did what they wanted to do, which is just break the spirit of the Lakers. And I mean, Anthony Davis just did that press conference after. You can't complain about not being a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year and then get absolutely torched in the fourth quarter by multiple players. Get that shot hit against you. And it was a great shot. It was good defense. Fall into the celebrating bench and then get asked about the shot afterwards and say Jamal Murray made a shot. That's not the drop mic he thought it was, and then he just walks off.
Yeah, let's start with the late one. So Lakers Nuggets, the Nuggets close 7. The Lakers do cover for the betters. That goes unders, 3-0 to the unders, 9-2 to the unders so far in the postseason. Officiating effort, we get this. But I called this one an impossible loss for the Lakers. I thought LeBron was great. Aside from the late defense, I thought Davis was great. You're never going to get that D'Lo game in the hit. Like, that was 6-for-6 to start, 7 3-pointers. They're up 59-44 at the break. They're up 20 in the third. They're up 10 entering the fourth, and they lose. Again, on Thursday, the Lakers are just a 1-point favorite. I don't even know how the Lakers show up to Crypto on Thursday. That was about as dispiriting as it gets.
Yeah. I mean, I've been saying this whole time, it's going to be a sweep. Like, it's a bad matchup, and you can say, oh, they played them well. Yeah, they play them well, but that doesn't mean that they can beat them. Right. Like, and even if they got a game, okay, now we have a gentleman's sweep or whatever you want to call it. Like, I just, they have no match for the Nuggets when the Nuggets start rolling. There is no stopping that momentum. I mean, you saw a couple of times Denver would cut it down to 2, 3, 4 points. LeBron would come right back and D'Lo would hit a corner three. LeBron was just executing so well. He was going at them, but you eventually lose steam and lose all that momentum and all that energy that it takes. And Jokic just doesn't get tired. He doesn't. He's like the Hulk of fatigue. That's the secret. He's always tired.
27, 20 rebounds and 10 assists. And he just kind of like brush it off because that's what Jokic does. I will say this. When Murray hit the jumper and Murray missed 13 of his first 16 shots. So the idea that he just kept on shooting, when Murray hit that jumper, I don't think I've ever seen Jokic or the Nuggets as excited as they were to win a basketball game. Not a championship, not nothing. That's as excited, as demonstrative as we've seen them.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to years ago when he was hurt, right? Like, I mean, they kept saying, they acquired Aaron Gordon, they kept saying that this is a championship level team, and we kept saying, all right, you got to prove it. And then Jamal Murray, you know, blows out his ACL, and they love that guy. Like, they truly love that guy. And he is, you know, Jokic is obviously everything for that team, but Jamal Murray's right there in terms of popularity and what matters to them and what drives them. And that two-man game is so lethal. And so when he's having an off night, and obviously he's proven everything at this point, like, no, he's not been an all-star, he's not been all NBA, but he's won a championship and he was a big part of that. And he'll be a big part of the next one. But when he's able to have those moments, a tough shooting game that shows the perseverance, shows the resilience, and he's not even thinking about passing the ball in that final possession, he sees Anthony Davis and he just sees food for one of the best defenders in the league. I mean, that's why they celebrate in that way. It's a fun moment and they love that guy.
Yeah, it was an incredible game. And that was the main course, because the appetizer, the big guy and his Knicks. So let's get into this one. You know, the Knicks beat the 76ers 104-101 to take a 2-0 series lead. Those are the facts, Zach. But the reality, like I said, is much crazier. And you can really kind of zoom in on the last 40 seconds. First off, the three in the corner from Brunson, it looked gross coming out of his hand, bounces straight up and then softly falls through. And then chaos ensues. Walk us through kind of like what you saw and your thought process watching that final 27 seconds.
You know what I hate about the internet in moments like this is everyone just becomes a hall monitor for their own interests, right? Like, it's like, oh, he called a timeout. Well, now we get a zoom in and it's like almost a fake timeout call. Oh, you know, he grabbed Maxie's jersey, and it's like, yeah, and Maxie also kind of pushed off a little bit. Like, you know, you can give and take here and there. Ultimately, it was chaos. It was absolute chaos. And I think you saw exactly like the effects of Joel Embiid not being healthy. I mean, it looked so bad physically. He was great. He was great in that game. But when they needed big rebounds down that final minute or two, he couldn't grab them. He couldn't get to them because he can't move, because he's dragging a leg. And I feel like, despite the stats and they're winning and they almost won that game, they're winning with him on the court, I don't feel like he should be out there. I genuinely don't. Like, he doesn't look good at all. He's dragging that leg. He tried to chase down of Deuce McBride in the open court and just starts limping and hobbling. And he's not even really getting active in those final possessions on offense because there's only so much he can do. And then the perfect capper to just the way Philadelphia gave that game away, regardless of what you feel about the officiating, for Tyrese Maxey to throw a grenade to Embiid with a second left and him standing 30 feet covered from the basket. I was just wondering, like, Maxey, you had such a great game. Why wouldn't you take that shot? It was such a deflating finish in so many ways. Embiid says the thing he has to say after the game of like, we're going to win the series, we should be up 2-0, all that stuff. And maybe some of that stuff is true. Maybe all of it's true, but no one really believes it, right? Like, I don't think even Philly believes that that's true. I think you see the writing on the wall because Embiid is not healthy. And when he's not healthy, guys like Hartenstein can just make every play possible.
And a great block from Hartenstein. You're so right about them. First off, Maxey's been electric. He had 35, he had 10 dimes, 9 rebounds, but he had an open look and he just kind of freaked out and threw I don't even know if Embiid got it off in time. Like, that was messy. And Maxey had a look.
He had a step back. Like, he could have pulled up from the logo, which granted is a deep shot, but it's more and more common, right? He came up and he had space to pull up. He gets the switch. He gets Hartenstein. He's had a step back. Maybe he didn't feel in rhythm. Maybe he felt like, this isn't my moment. Maybe he got scared. I don't know what happened there, but he literally threw the pass with 1.1 seconds left. I think Embiid technically catches it with less than a second left, like 0.8. And then I'm with you. Like, had he, let's say he hits that shot, I have no idea if it counts because I have no idea if he got it off.
Yeah, I agree. So moving forward to Thursday, I'll just give you the number. Where do you think the 76ers are? So they're a 4.5 point favorite on Thursday. You know, like you said, Embiid, not overly mobile. It shows his greatness, 34 points, 10 boards, 6 assists. Like, do you think a couple of days helps the 76er team, or do you think this is a wrap?
No, I mean, I didn't think they could win the series, so I guess I think it's a wrap. But I never thought they were going to get swept either. I saw Knicks fans on Twitter, I think, kind of trying to reverse jinx this thing before the series, going, we got to strap in. You know, this is going to be a long 6-7 game series. If Embiid was healthy, absolutely. If Embiid was healthy, they could win that series and upset the Knicks. But with him looking the way he does, I just don't see it. Like, I think it's like a 5-game series. Maybe you get lucky and get to 6 if you're Philadelphia. But the fact that the Knicks are up 2-0 and Jalen Brunson shooting 30% on the series, and the Sixers have done a great job on him defensively, and I think they can continue a lot of that. But at a certain point, I've just looked at Brunson's play, and it just looks a step slow. And I don't think that's, you know, an injury or anything like that. I just think he's not getting that first step the way he normally does. He's not getting that defender off balance. And that's where all of his, you know, magic comes from. When he's got the ball in his hands, he's got such a good quick first step that now you are scrambling to recover, and then he can pivot. He can read your body language. He can read your momentum, everything that's going on in front of him. He can read that and use it against you. And we haven't seen that yet. I think he will solve it at some point. And it's why, even though I do think the Sixers will win Game 3, but I think the Knicks win that in 5.
Well, I'd like to introduce you to one of those Knicks fans on Twitter. We're just so lucky that Dustin is here. He went into the series very fearful of the 76ers. I was hoping that the Knicks would tank game 82. Dustin, I believe Zach just called you out inadvertently.
Yeah, well, I thought that one of the top three players on the planet was going to be in better health going into the series, and that concerned me. But once Joel Embiid slammed home that dunk and fell to the floor, I knew everything had changed in that moment, and the Knicks were going to win this series. And also, pretty confident at this point, they're going to beat the Celtics and represent the East in the championship.
Wow. Wow. Just dismissing Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton.
And by the way, you should have felt very confident that Embiid would have been healthy, because he's had such a track record of being healthy, Dustin. Well, so I would agree with you there.
He had a long time to rest. I thought he was going to come back and they were just waiting until he was 100%. No, apparently they were waiting until he was 75%. Now he's probably at about 60.
His half a leg.
It's amazing what he's doing on half a leg. Well, those are two of the series. We have 6 more to discuss, and Zach is going to hang around with us. Of course, you can find Zach on Twitter, Talk Hoops, The Athletic as well. The Bounce, if you like the NBA, this is the time right now to sign up for the newsletter over at The Athletic, The Bounce. Make sure you go check it out. We're back with Zach Harper talking about the games tonight as well. Progressive Guest Line.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel.
Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, experience the thrill of the NFL draft with VSIN's exclusive coverage on Thursday starting at 6 p.m. with VSIN Primetime. Tim Murray, Jonathan Von Tobel, and special guest Mike Golic Sr., Mike Golic Jr., as they dive deep into the NFL draft prospects and predictions. Stay locked in for a special edition of GM Shuffle at 8 p.m. Eastern, where former NFL executive Michael Lombardi and Femi Abebefe bring you real-time analysis of the first-round picks. Michael will give his thoughts on every draft pick and trade as they happen. Watch this special edition of the GM Shuffle on VSiN, DraftKings Network, or on VSiN's YouTube page. Cap off the night at 11 p.m. Eastern with VSiN Tonight, where they will wrap up all the first round action. Find all your draft needs, insights, and bets in Matt Heumann's mock draft at vsin.com/draft. Okay, so the draft coming up on Thursday. We've got more playoff games in the NBA. And on the ice tonight, joining us to discuss, Zach Harper, our NBA insider, does a great job with The Athletic, SiriusXM, at Talk Hoops. Very easy on Twitter. Let's get to the games going on tonight. So the Suns are at the T-Wolves, and of course, Zach brought to you on the Progressive Guest Line. The Suns at the T-Wolves. The T-Wolves are laying three tonight, and I was disappointed with the Suns. They were complete. Yeah. What were they out-rebounded? 1,000 to a couple. I think they got a couple of boards. You got nothing from Booker. You got nothing from Beal. KD was great. What changes? The Timberwolves are only laying three here.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the Suns, it's actually pretty simple. Like the Wolves defense, they take away the paint with Gobert, obviously. They take away the rim and they try to run guys off the 3-point line. It's very reminiscent to what the Jazz did with Gobert when Quinn Snyder was the coach. It completely opens up the middle of the floor. And the Suns have three of the best mid-range shooters in the world ever, right? With Durant, with Booker, with Beal. If you start making those shots, if you get to those shots and you start having purpose and driving with purpose and attacking with purpose and getting to the middle of the floor and racking up points early on, I do think it forces the Timberwolves to adjust their defense. And I don't think they have an adjustment that is comfortable to them, but they will be worried about taking away those points. And I think that's where you start opening up the three pointers. And if Grayson Allen can go, I know he hurt his ankle, but if he can go, he's obviously a lethal 3-point shooter. They have a couple of guys that can knock down those shots. And that's when you start getting the Timberwolves uneasy. That's when they're not in a rhythm. That's when, you know, maybe things get a little stagnant on the other end because they're rushing things, their pressure, you know, the pressure starts mounting on them. If you can get the ball out of Anthony Edwards' hands, I think that's your best bet, but good luck with that because he is so smooth. I mean, there's a plan of attack. It worked throughout most of the regular season, but the Timberwolves kicked their butts in game one. And I think they have to feel pretty confident they can do that again in game two if the Suns don't attack properly.
Do you feel confident the T-Wolves win tonight and cover that three?
No, because I think there was a calmness, even though I think the Suns are a mess, there seemed to be a calmness to Kevin Durant after that game. And I think that's the leadership they need, is not to panic. Like, yeah, you lost by 25. Like you got destroyed, right? In every way, you got embarrassed. Ant scored more baskets in the third quarter than the entire Suns team. He had eight, they had six. Like there's nothing that could have gone worse for you outside of a major injury to one of your big three. So I think you can go in there. I think KD sets the tone early. And once he does that, I think it's easier for everything to fall into line. But I would like to see him initiate the offense. I'd like to see Booker initiate the offense. I'm done seeing Beal initiate the offense. Like that just, it doesn't work, and it's nothing the Timberwolves are afraid of, and they would welcome that. So I think you have to try to make the Wolves uncomfortable, and I think KD can do that early on.
I was disappointed with the Pacers. I'm sure most were. Halliburton, again, maybe you can solve the mystery. The Bucks, they got the 35 from Dame in the first half. That's all they needed. So game two tonight in Milwaukee. Milwaukee's just laying a point. So the expectations are the Pacers potentially hang in or bounce back. How about you, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, I expect them to. I once Giannis was out, I expected them to win that game, and they just got destroyed early. The Halliburton thing's easy to explain. He's been mediocre since that hamstring injury. And I guess it's not healed. I guess he's not right because he was all NBA first team worthy through that that first chunk of the season. And then once that hamstring happened, he rushed back because of the 65 game rule, which is what he says. That's what he told The Athletic. Once that happened, I mean, he just doesn't get open. He took seven shots in 38 minutes, seven shots. Like he has to be more aggressive. I don't think he has that first step. I don't think he can create separation right now. And I don't think Patrick Beverley's a good defender anymore, but if a guy doesn't have a first step, he can hang around and make it uncomfortable. And so they have to find a way to turn Tyrese back into whatever version of Steve Nash he looked like in that first third to half of the season, because the Bucks have no one for him if that guy is there. But if you're just trying to beat this Bucks team, even without Giannis, with just Pascal Siakam and like some Miles Turner minutes and TJ McConnell off the bench, like the Bucks can handle that, especially at home.
And then finally, Dallas at the Clippers. If there was a more disappointing team, maybe the Pacers, but Dallas, lethargic, kind of sleepwalky. You know, I thought Kyrie was good, but other than that, it was just a weird performance on Sunday from the Mavs, and the Clippers were great. Harden had a little extra, like he did have kind of some explosiveness we hadn't seen. The Clippers tonight, a point and a half favorite. What do you think here, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, I expect Dallas to bounce back. You know, maybe it was, you know, they say the Clippers don't have a home court advantage. Midday game after a night in L.A. Maybe you do. I don't know. Maybe you do. The Mavs, they start out slow. They got it going in the third quarter and they figured things out. But at that point, it was too little too late. I wouldn't expect Dallas to have a slow start like that again. If Kawhi's not going to play, or if Kawhi's not going to be 100% if he does play, you know, they should be able to grab that advantage and get on top of the Clippers early. Can you expect Maxi Kleber to play as poorly as he did? You know, and I'm not expecting him to be anything big, but he and Tim Hardaway Jr., your job is to knock down shots. Those guys have to be able to take advantage of any opportunities. They've kind of sacrificed some of the offense to bring in defenders. I'd like to see a little bit more balance there from Jason Kidd's rotation. But if Luka gets off to a hot start, I think that's when you see the Clippers start to worry a little bit more. But I would expect this thing to be 1-1 going back to Dallas on game three.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Miami and Boston. No, I'm just playing. I'm not going to ask you about that. New Orleans and Oklahoma City. So Sunday night was freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. That crowd was awesome. I loved everything about that game. Let's talk about tonight. Oklahoma City's laying 7.5. What do you think?
I mean, it'd be great if the Pelicans had Brandon Ingram. You know, where, like, I know he's only, it was only his fourth game back from that injury. And so maybe that's rust. Maybe he's not fully healthy, but he hasn't looked good in pretty much all of these games that he's played since he came back. Without Zion available, you need Ingram and you need CJ to set the tone. I thought Trey Murphy was incredible. You saw two of the best defensive teams in the league really slug it out. And Lu Dort is amazing, right? You can chalk some of that Ingram bad game up to Lu Dort. Like, Lu Dort is an incredible defender. You saw great block shots, especially late in the game, from Chet Holmgren. Like, the Thunder have just been so calm for such a young team. They've been so calm in the regular season in clutch moments. And to see that translate to at least game one of whatever length of postseason run we see from them, this Thunder team is just awesome. But I don't want to discount the Pelicans. I don't want to say that they can't repeat this and take that game. If CJ knocks down that shot, then obviously this is a very different story. But they can beat them up inside. Valanciunas had a great game. He can keep doing that all series long, but they need to have Ingram and McCollum step up and be stars without Zion there. Otherwise, it'll be a quick series.
If Ingram was still banged up, Zion was healthy and running that kind of point forward, do the Pelicans beat the Thunder?
Absolutely. In that game, absolutely. I don't know about for the series, because I want to see how the Thunder would adjust, and still will adjust, even though they won game one. There's a lot that they're going to want to change. But with Zion, like, that's just, it's a force and it's a strength that you can't put Lu Dort on both those guys. And not that I'm not even sure Lu Dort could keep him out of the paint, but he's at least a strong body and a smart defender. But they don't have anybody to match up with him. They don't have anybody to match up with Valanciunas. And so without that interior presence from both those guys, it does make it just so much harder for them to pull those games out. And I think Zion's actually a great late game situation score, because even if he misses that shot, he's so quick at getting to the offensive boards that he's still probably got a 50% chance of scoring on that play.
Ingram's great, but the offense just stops. It just gets sticky with him because he's an individual player. I'm not putting him down, but the offense just doesn't flow the same with Ingram. That's just my vibe.
No, I'm with you. I would love to see them use kind of Ingram in a similar way that OKC used KD back in the day, where he'd come off these pin down screens, get to the free throw line and just shoot, right? You don't need to dribble 1,000 times. You don't need to show us what's in your bag, any of that crap. Like, just get out there and shoot. He has such a good jump shot that if he just rises up immediately when he has that opportunity and doesn't hesitate, there's nothing a defense can do. Like, you can't block his shot. He's too good. He's too quick. He's too long. He's too skilled. And if he just makes quicker decisions and has an idea and they set him up better than letting him just go try to cook someone and get on like a House of Highlights reel or something, they'll be great. Like, that will be great opportunities that you can live with those results.
One word answer. Do the Pelicans cover the 7.5? Do they keep it close tonight?
Yes.
Beautiful. Zach Harper, The Athletic, SiriusXM. Check out the podcast and check out the newsletter, The Bounce, over at The Athletic. It's free. Just go sign up at Talk Hoops on Twitter. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy the basketball, Zach. Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys. See you next week.
Okay. Thank you. Shout the Boogie. That's his dog. Progressive Guest Line brought to you, Zach Harper. We're coming back with Mike Randall, FTN.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Nips up. It's unbelievable. Randall absolutely on one during the break. The draft coverage from Randall is absolutely lethal. 2 weeks free. Betting splits access. VSIN.com/splits. You can check it out. Updated every 5 minutes straight from DraftKings. And it doesn't cost you a thing. VSIN.com/splits. So FTN, everything now over at FTNFantasy.com. FTN's Mike Randall joins us. He's the GOAT, Chief Content Officer. He sent over his notes for the draft. And I swear he's got, it looks like upwards of 20 picks. He's got hard takes. And we say hi to Randall. What's up, Randall?
I am refreshed and replenished. I cannot wait. We are 2 days away. Bring it. I'm ready. I got the martinis ready to go. It's a great night. I'm ready. I'm not sleeping. We got ping pong going. Everything's all over here at the Randall House. We can't wait.
It's called greatness. And I wrote down some takes during the break. So let's have some fun with these. One, number five, if they keep that pick, the Chargers, you've got Joe Alt, the tackle, Notre Dame, 4.5-1 to go there.
Guys, if the Chargers aren't trading out of this pick, they are taking Joe Alt. Forget your fan mind. Forget the fantasy mind. You know, they need a wide receiver because they don't have Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Since when did Jim Harbaugh care about passing? You saw that when he had J.J. McCarthy, who he says is the best quarterback in the draft at Michigan. He wants to run the ball. They have Rashawn Slater. They will add an offensive tackle. That is what they're going to do. If they trade out, guys, I believe they're trading down for another offensive player, offensive lineman. But if they stay, they're taking Alt. It's great value. Don't give up on it and don't fall victim to this. Well, they need a wide receiver because I run an NFL team like a fantasy football player. No, you don't. Front line. He drinks milk with steak. He lives in a van down by the river in the RV. He's taking an offensive lineman. If they trade out, they still are, but he's not going to get Alt.
Joe Alt, 4.5-1 at 5 to the Chargers. You know, a lot of people are assuming that it's either Daniels or Drake May to the Commanders. There is no chance in Randall's mind that the Commanders are taking Drake May at 2.
No, they're not taking Drake May. They're either taking Jaden Daniels, who some people are saying is the better pro than Caleb Williams, or they're taking McCarthy because Adam Peters, who's waited for this job his whole life and came from San Francisco where we had all the three-card Monty with Trey Lance versus Mac Jones. I believe the reports. Yeah, John Kime, the insider, saying that McCarthy is higher than May on their board. Connect the dots, guys. If it's not Daniels, it's going to be McCarthy. And I still think there's a chance it's going to be McCarthy because the rumor is that Peters likes McCarthy better. He may have to succumb to the owner. He may have to take the safe play with Daniels. That's fine. Nobody cares what his agent says about the meetings. Nobody cares. It's either Daniels or it's McCarthy. It is not going to be May. If it's Daniels second, I think it's May 3rd. So you can still get that at like minus 120 to go 1, 2, 3, Williams, Daniels, and May. But if it's not Jaden Daniels, I'm cashing a plus 2200 ticket on JJ McCarthy second.
the big guy wants to flex a little bit because I believe Dustin Swedelson got 27-1 on JJ at 2 overall. And if I don't give him the platform to say it, he'll cry. Go ahead, big guy.
Well, Randall laid it out exactly why. There is so much we don't know about what Washington actually wants to do. And that unknown is what made that 27-1 enticing for me. And by the way, I just bet it a week ago. It was like last Wednesday I bet it. It's just too enticing when we really don't have any clue what this new regime is thinking. And credit to them. They've been absolutely sealed tight. So we've had no leaks of any kind. I think there is a chance it's JJ. It's likely Jaden, but at 27-1, I'll take that risk.
Guys, and forget about this rumor that the Giants are trading up. That's fantasy land. You don't go to your owner if you're the New York Giants and say, listen, we believe in Daniel Jones. Give him 81 mil guaranteed. And then a year later say, you know what? Sorry, we're wrong. We're going to pick a quarterback. I don't think so. So they're not trading up to take a quarterback there. If one falls to them, maybe we can talk about it. But they're not trading up either.
We're talking to the GOAT, Mike Randall, FTNFantasy.com. He is all over at FTN. He's all over the draft. You know, a lot of fans in New York and New Jersey have already penciled in Brock Bowers at 10 to the Jets. Do you agree with the fans?
Let me guess. Because he's a mobile tight end that can catch a la George Kittle. Get out of here. We've seen Kyle Pitts go early in the draft and then been wasted by Arthur Smith. We saw Hayden Hurst go in the first round. We saw David Njoku take a – Jane Njoku from Cedar Grove out here in New Jersey took a couple years to get going with the Browns. The Jets are in win-now mode. Aaron Rodgers turns 41 the first week in December. They don't have 2 or 3 years to watch Bowers develop. Remember, just because Sam Laporta went bananas last year, second round, not first round pick, by the way, doesn't mean that we've now started a trend. Brock Bowers is not going to the Jets at number 10. They could get Rome Odunze if he drops. That's a different story. But they are not doing that. They're in win-now mode. What is Brock Bowers having 80 catches and 1,000 yards in his first year with the Jets? Enough. He's not going there. I got his over 12.5. I think he's more likely to go to a team like the Colts or maybe the Bengals here in the teens. Not going top 10 either.
Atlanta is picking number 8. During the break, Randall said, Atlanta's going to get weird at 8. Walk us through it.
You're in Sin City here, so you're right near all the card rooms, which I love. Doyle's room, poker, I love it. You have that feeling, guys, when you sit at the table and you say something's wrong. I just don't think they have it. Everyone's been penciling Dallas Turner. You go to the mock draft consensus, it's like 87% Dallas Turner going to Atlanta. Why is that? I know they need a pass rush, but suppose Rome Odunze's there. You don't think Kirk Cousins, Rome Odunze, all the wide receivers, Bijan Robinson there, all the players that they have, you don't think that would be attractive for them the way the NFL is trending now? I don't think it's Dallas Turner. There's rumors about Leiatu Latu, who they like as well. There could be a trade back, which Dustin talked about off air. I think that Atlanta's going to do something weird. I really do. I just have a feeling that it's not going to be normal.
All right, so Randall, I agree. I don't know if you saw Schefter's column yesterday over at ESPN. He's saying that the Falcons really love Michael Penix. You're saying weird. Is that too weird?
No, it's not. And guys, I never understood why Michael Penix wasn't a first round pick, because all the guys in Moneyball, those scouts are saying, well, he's not good. Guys, he's a winner. He's a prolific college producer, and he's got a howitzer for an arm. Does not that not fit your team, the Las Vegas Raiders? Does that not fit them perfectly? So absolutely. People like Penix, I think they're sleeping on him here. You know, everybody's like, well, he throws lefty. Go on X and watch the videos of him throwing right-handed. You think he's the second coming to Dan Marino. So I know there's injury history there. I think Penix is absolutely going in round one. It would not surprise me if they put him right behind Kirk Cousins for a couple of years and say they have the quarterback of the future.
Look, Randall, this is me talking. I'm fine with Williams going one to the Bears, but if I'm the Commanders, I'm having a discussion about Daniels or Penix Jr. at 2. I'm sorry. I just am. That's how much I love Penix.
I totally understand. Listen, the issue they're saying here, Patrick, is that he can't throw over the middle of the field. That's the issue. So that's why Michigan was able to win, because he was not accurate over the middle of the field. You know what else I know about NFL coaches? They're cocky. They think they can fix something like that. But you, how many times have they fallen in love with a guy with a big arm? That was always that for decades. Now, all of a sudden, we're scared of Penix because all he has is a big arm. It doesn't make sense, guys. It's not what you think and I think at the bar having a martini. It's what the cocoon of the NFL owners and those coaches think. They see Penix, especially, God rest his soul, Al Davis and your Raiders. He's a guy you want on your team.
He never gets sacked. He has an innate feel for the position. I love Penix. Okay, next one. Brian Thomas Jr., you've got him going over 19.5 draft position.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled with the wide receivers here, guys. I think there's a chasm of a difference between those first three. You know Marvin Harrison's going to go first, pedigree, the whole thing. Malik Nabers, is he's angry. He's taking, you know, Amara St. Brown, like he keeps track of who passes on him. And Roman Dunze is the prototypical wide receiver one. But I don't know if Brian Thomas is going before a pick 20. He's a good receiver. He's solid. He's not a perfect prospect. And there's a ton of offensive line. There's a couple defenders who can go there. You have the two cornerbacks as well. So I like the over in Brian Thomas. I like Brian Thomas. I could easily see him going number 20 or 21, somewhere in there. 19.5 is a little early. And the over is juiced now, minus 145, getting a little higher as well, which I like.
And last one, you've got over 9.5 offensive linemen being drafted in the first round.
Lock, this is the best draft for offensive linemen we've seen in quite some time. And guys, how do teams win in the NFL right now? You don't have to take a wide receiver early, a la Corey Davis from a couple of years ago. Remember John Ross because he was fast? That is what happens. The NFL is a copycat league. You win up front in the trenches. It's not a great draft for defensive linemen. It's not a great draft for any of the three levels. Secondary or linebackers as well, but you have a ton of studs up front, left tackle, right tackle. I think it's going to be over 9.5. I got it at plus 135. It's now minus 200, I think. Feeling very good about that one.
Look, that's greatness. And come Thursday, Randall, it's personal.
Always. Always personal.
It's personal. Nips up. FTNFantasy.com. He's fired up about the draft. He's Mike Randall. We'll talk to you next week, Randall. Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
All right, there he goes. It's personal. Giannis news coming back.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, and of course, DraftKings. Now, you bet $5, you get $200 instantly in bonus bets for new customers at DraftKings on the NBA postseason. Of course, DraftKings is an official betting partner of the NBA. But again, you can't beat a deal like this. $200 instantly in your account after a $5 bet for new customers. But you have to use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. So get over there, DraftKings. Sign up and use the promo code VSIN. DraftKings, the crown is yours. We got you back, Sharp Money. We've got Adam Burke from VSiN.com coming up in about 14 minutes. Aaron Halterman and more. We also have our Sharp Money Survivor as Del Guadio did advance. We are pulling for Del. Great man. Looking forward to the vid coming up here in just a little bit. I'm Patrick Maher, Dustin Sweetelson. This is Sharp Money presented by DraftKings. So again, I'm going to give you the news on Giannis. Understand that the number had already been baked in. Okay, but it is official. Giannis has been ruled out tonight for game two versus the Pacers. Would have been fascinating, big guy, if the Pacers had won game two to check in on Giannis' status to give us a bigger picture of exactly where he stands. But you almost have a free pass here. So Giannis has been officially ruled out tonight. The number hasn't budged. It was one when we started the program an hour and 46 minutes ago.
Yep.
It's still one right now. Had been baked in as if he wasn't going to play, but there you have it. Giannis officially has been ruled out.
Yeah, I mean, had they lost game one, curious if he would have rushed himself back to not be 100%. But at the same time, look, they're going to ride the Damian Lillard train. If Damian Lillard can step up and play like the star that he was in Portland without Giannis on the floor, they kind of got a breather from having to rush Giannis back. And look across at the 76ers right now as a warning of what happens when you rush a guy back who's not ready to play, potentially could get hurt again, and then all of a sudden, where do you stand the rest of the run? And for the Bucks, it's real simple. They just got to get to Boston and be as close to 100% as possible, because it looks like they are the team everyone expects to be able to put up a fight against the Celtics.
So just quickly, before we get back to the draft, the Suns and Timberwolves, DraftKings is still sitting the T-Wolves 3. Westgate just went to 2.5. And I'm just bringing up another book to give you an idea of how they're betting it at different shops. So a little action there on the Suns. Interesting. 211.5 on the total. The Pacers and Bucks still sitting one, was one when we got here, one across the board as I'm looking at my board right now. The Mavs and Clippers, I did see a shop just go to one, but most, including DraftKings, are sitting the Clippers 1.5, a total of 216.5. The biggest total of the night, that sandwich game with the Pacers at the Bucks, 223.5.
Everything with the Suns feels like an okey-doke. I don't know. I can't trust them. You just can't. You don't know what you're going to get. I have concerns about Minnesota potentially not being able to match the intensity of the game one the way things went, but I trust Phoenix way less to just figure things out.
And you've learned the word mercurial, so you would say the Suns are mercurial.
Is that why that the WNBA team is called the Mercury?
I think that has more to do with like heating up.
Oh,
like Mercury, but
oh, is it in retrograde right now?
It's a good question. Are you a Pisces? Okay, so you sent this text while we were talking to Randall. A fascinating draft buzz from Schefter. He said, this caught my eye. There is now speculation that Penix could go as high as number 8 to the Falcons. Now, this is something we've been on here on Sharp Money for a long time. I've been saying all along, 32.5. To go under on Penix draft position, 32.5 minus 200 right now, unless the number has budged since the last time I checked.
Oh, no, it's moved, Patrick. Under is now minus 275. And if you listen to the show, so we all betted at minus 140 a week ago.
And more importantly, I said I think there's a better chance he goes top 15.
Oh, yeah.
Than doesn't go in the first round. I think there's a better chance. Somebody give me a prop. Top 15 on Penix or second round. Just get whatever you can throw at me. I think that'd be a very interesting dichotomy because I think he's going top 15. I don't think now here's what Schefter said. There is now speculation Penix could go as high as number 8 to the Falcons. I don't think first off, it would be brilliant. Look, you just know that after 2-3 years of Cousins, you have a plug and play starter. You don't have to worry about quarterback for the next 15 years. Okay, maybe they don't do it. They start to fill other holes. They think they have a four-year window, a good three-year window with Cousins. They decide to pass on Penix. I'm telling you something right now. I have no clue how if he's there at 13, the Raiders pass on him. And right now, the number on Penix Jr., or at least from my notes earlier today, Penix Jr. to go to the Raiders is... Let's see. I have the number plus 260. Unless it's changed.
I think the number 8 spot, Patrick, that's the key to the whole thing. I don't think he's getting past 8, whether it's the Falcons, whether it's the Broncos, whether it's the Raiders just make a lot of sense in a lot of ways. I mean, Antonio Pierce needs a quarterback. I know they signed Gardner Minshew and they have Aiden O'Connell. They need a quarterback of the future because they have those other two. If they don't feel that Penix is ready right away, he could potentially sit and wait. But make no mistake about it, he's going to compete for the job if they bring him in there. And if you're the Raiders at 13, if you could potentially draft your franchise quarterback at that spot, that is massive value for an organization. The problem for them is the competition. They're competing with the Broncos in division. Because I do think when you look at what Michael Penix Jr. is as a passer, there's a lot of similarities to what Drew Brees was. Quick release, super accurate guy, move around in the pocket enough. I think there's a lot that it would make sense for what Sean Payton wants to do. They have a bunch of weapons there already. He would be a really good fit in Denver. I think those two in division are going to battle it out, potentially trading up with Atlanta, where, look, Atlanta could take Penix, right? I get the thought of wanting to have that bridge from Cousins to Penix as your long-term plan, but they're all in on the Cousins right now. They're all in on the next 2-3 years to win a Super Bowl, to contend here. They need to get an impact guy. The best thing they could do is trade that for a couple picks and more value and add more pieces around Kirk Cousins. But I do think number 8, that is the spot where I'd be looking for Michael Penix to come off the board.
So maybe it was remissive of me, but I think it was more purposeful. Yesterday, before the show started, Zach Wilson was traded from the Jets to the Broncos. Mm-hmm. And in 3 hours, I didn't mention it.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't think it's a story. Now, that's a bad job by me. You got to at least report it. So I do apologize. Let's talk about the Broncos. The Broncos are plus 175 to grab a quarterback. They are edge or defensive lineman 2-1. And cornerback is 330, so plus 330. Where are you at on the Broncos right now?
So I do think that they potentially are in the mix for Penix. The problem is they gave up so many assets to get Russell Wilson, and they're kind of hamstrung as an organization with the cap hit and all that. I don't know if they're going to go out and get a quarterback. I think they want Penix, but they want Penix if he falls to them. If someone gets aggressive behind them and trades in front of them, i.e. with Atlanta, i.e. with the Giants, trades up for quarterbacks where McCarthy and Penix are off the board and neither of them are falling down to the Broncos, that's where I think they settle and they go edge. And I think Jared Verse would be a guy that makes sense, or Turner or Latu, whichever one doesn't go potentially to the Falcons there. I think edge at 2-1 seems to be the price that I think makes sense to me, because I don't know if Denver, with everything they've leveraged over the last couple of years to bring in Wilson, if they're going to sacrifice more for Michael Penix at 23 years old.
Yeah, the conversation around the quarterbacks obviously is fascinating, but you would agree with me here. An NFL quarterback in 2024 is going to attempt 30 plus passes a game, correct?
Yeah. Oh, have to.
Okay, well, let me give you a resume. This guy had 28 games as a starter in college. He averaged in those 28 games 23 pass attempts and a total of 191 passing yards per game. Just, I think, 4-5 times he had thrown for over 30 passes in a college football game of those 28 starts. The answer is that's J.J. McCarthy. I don't understand. And I know the potential conversation, and that's what front offices do. They look at a player and they think, what can he turn into? But if you look at the facts and you look at some of those big games, he did nothing except manage the game, and the offense was never built around him. The steam right now on McCarthy continues to be befuddling.
No, this is one of those deals where I think these teams are overthinking it. Sometimes you just got to watch the football and let the football tell you what you're seeing in the player. This happened a few years ago, right? When we had Mitchell Trubisky and Deshaun Watson in the same draft. We'll put Mahomes off to the side just because Patrick Mahomes, no one really saw what was coming down the road. But it was very obvious. Deshaun Watson was a better football player when you watch the games than Mitchell Trubisky. Yet the hype train among all the NFL evaluators was have to go and grab Trubisky. He has all the traits of a QB1 in the NFL. Watson's a better football player, barring the injuries and the off-field stuff that's occurred. Mitchell Trubisky is going to be a career backup. That's the difference there. I see Mitchell Trubisky and J.J. McCarthy.
Well, the conversation that we just had where I just glossed over a kid a couple of years ago that was drafted 2 overall.
Same.
Because he was a tantalizing talent. I mean, Zach Wilson, J.J.,
Same.
I don't see the difference. Adam Burke, Berkey Tuesday, coming up at the top of the hour.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.